For the last several years here, we've been doing this Holy Humor Sunday, and it's basically where we set aside the Sunday after Easter to laugh. Now, this is not unique to us. In fact, this dates all the way back to the 15th century. Churches in Bavaria in the 15th century, they celebrated this Sunday after Easter. They called it Rieslus, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Rieslus Petulus, which means God's joke or the Easter laugh. Priests would deliberately include amusing stories into their sermons and jokes in an attempt to make everybody laugh. Now get this, this is what I think is hysterical. After the service, the congregation would get together to play practical jokes on one another. Isn't that just weird? Just think back, 15th century, what would a practical joke look like? I have no idea. And they would tell funny stories. But the reason why laughter, it's because this is their way and ours this morning of us celebrating the resurrection of Christ, because the ultimate joke was played on the devil, right? The devil was laughing pretty hard on Friday. He was laughing, and he was probably laughing on Saturday. But I'll tell you what, he wasn't laughing on Sunday when Jesus came back from the dead, but God was laughing. God was laughing, and now we're laughing as well because the enemy has lost, and he had the best practical joke played on him of all time, right? Now, Charlie Chaplin, here's something Charlie Chaplin said as we get started. A day without laughter is a day wasted. Isn't that good? How about this? George R.R. Martin said, laughter is a poison to fear. Oof, that's powerful. And this one here, I'm not sure who wrote this, but I have not seen anyone dying of laughter, but I know millions who are dying because they're not laughing. Isn't that good? But listen, the Bible, the Word of God, says some stuff about laughter too, believe it or not. In Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Isn't that true? Have you ever been in a disappointing point of your life and somebody makes you laugh and somehow it's like medicine to your soul, right? And this isn't the Bible. This isn't like, you know, looking up funny different quotes online. This is God's word that he wants us to have this cheerful heart. He doesn't want us to have a crushed spirit. We're walking around all sad and that dries up the bones. I love this one. This is a little bit earlier in Proverbs. Proverbs 15:15. In the Message translation, it says, a miserable heart means a miserable life. Oh, that's so good. And a cheerful heart fills the day with song. It fills the day with song and a good, happy tune, right? A good, happy tune. I love that because I don't want a miserable heart. I'm sure you don't want a miserable heart. But look at here. It says we have to be cheerful. Now, there's a specific type of humor called satire. You guys all familiar with satire? Satire isn't meant to bruise or wound, although it could if somebody's heart is in a bad place. Satire is humor with a purpose. And if you've been here at PCF for any amount of time, you'd know that we love satire. Good satire is there. It's humor with a purpose. We're trying to teach something while we're laughing at situations or ourselves. Now, John Crist is a comedian. Anybody ever hear John Crist? He's a Christian comedian. You gotta check him out. Some of you in the room know him. He was on tour with Tim Hawkins. Some of you know that guy. I know a bunch of you guys went out and saw him. John Crist is the king, in my opinion, of great Christian satire. He is awesome. And I want to show you this video that he put together. He did it during the election season. If any of you guys, even if you weren't on Facebook, you would know that everybody was getting offended with everything that came out on Facebook or even in the news. It's like as soon as that happened, you were mad. And I saw, you know, I got sucked into it too, where I'm like, I can't believe they said this about this candidate. And then, boom, you know, I'm writing online about how I care and I'm offended and everybody needs to know for some reason. No, they don't. But this guy, he makes this awesome video. I want to show it to you right now. An awesome video about being offended, and he uses satire to prove his point. Helping you let the opinions of strangers on the internet determine your quality of life. How you like that? Any of you going to buy that app? You don't need to, because we do it all on our own. But you see, that's a great example of great satire, right? Because we've all been there, where we get offended at things that we didn't even know about yesterday, as he said. And so that's just a great way. Hopefully you understand this idea of satire now and the importance of laughing at ourselves in situations, because we're watching that and going, I've been there. I've had that, at least that thought. I've had that thought. Today, I want to spend the remaining time exploring this topic. And I'm going to call today what I have for you Family Feud. Come on. I like this part right here. All right, Family Feud. Hey, all right, okay. You guys ready for a Family Feud? How many of you have seen the Family Feud before? Raise your hands. Anybody else, get a television. It's on TV. One of the things I've noticed is that families have feuds. How many of y'all have a family? How many of y'all have had a feud before? Okay, we're on the right page. Now, believe it or not, my wife and I have had a couple of feuds in our marriage. I know it's hard to believe, as wonderful she is and as close to perfect as I am, but we have some feuds. You know, there's some times where she's thinking one thing, I'm thinking the other, and it doesn't really work out, okay? Now, these feuds don't happen very often, mainly because I know these two words that have helped me through 10 years of marriage. Yes, dear. Because a happy wife equals a happy life. Am I right, fellas? Come on now. Happy wife, happy life. All y'all that are in here and you're getting married soon, remember those words. Because if she ain't happy, nobody's happy, right? Now, as we all know, in these families, there's feuds. But can I tell you, in the church, there's feuds. Hello? Because the church, listen, survey says, church is a family. The church is a family. We read about this in John. In John 1, we read, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. You with me so far? Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you're in the family. Hello? Now, that would mean that the person to your left and the person to your right, in front of you and behind you, those are your family members. Do you follow me? It's not just a nice thing we say. This is a spiritual thing. We're a spiritual family. See, he's given us a physical family, those that, you know, you're born into because of natural decision or whatever. And then he's given us a spiritual family, right? You follow me? Now, if you've been a Christian for some time, this is going to start to make sense to you. The analogy should make sense, but if it doesn't, let me explain. You know, in that your family, you got those siblings that just drive you crazy? Come on. Oh, some of you are like, well, they're right next to me. You know, Diane and Ron are looking, and they're just, I don't know what you're talking about. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you have those people in your family, they drive you nuts. And you don't know why. Or you got that uncle that says all those really bad things at the dinner table for Thanksgiving, and you're like, Uncle Frank, stop, you know? Listen, those people exist in the church too. And you might be Uncle Frank. Just saying. You just might be. I might be Uncle Frank to somebody too. So in a physical family, we have those things, but we also have them in a spiritual family. And it's fun. It's awesome. But here's the thing I want you to know. This is the biggest thing, is that the enemy of our souls does not like happy, healthy families. Satan does not want happy, healthy families. He wants our souls to be destroyed. He wants to destroy families. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy friendships, relationships, and the church body. The church family. Now, how do you think that Satan accomplishes this task? We just watched a video on it. To be offended. Woo. Satan wants you to be offended. You know why? Because when you're offended, you're useless. When you're offended, think about this now. When you're offended, you're not thinking of anything else except the person that offended you. And you're not making any, you're not happy, right? Well, I've never seen somebody get offended and be like, oh, that was awesome. I feel so great. I love being offended. Never. That's never happened. And when you're offended, you will most likely divorce the church family that you're in. And that's what he wants. Are we on the same page here today? Look to the person sitting in front of you and behind you, because the person to your left and right are probably your family members. Behind you, in front of you, say, you are part of my family. There you go. Wow, I hold on. Hold on now. Reel it back in. I only asked you to say a couple words. Woo! We almost had another greeting time moment there, man. Woo! PCF family is tight. Some of you have never spoken to those people behind you, in front of you. Woo! That was exciting for you and scary. Now listen, how are we going to combat this thing? If we know that the enemy is after us, we know that his plan is to get us captured into this bait of offense. If we know that, I think there are a lot of different ways that we can go through it. But today, this morning, I'm going to outline just a few of them for you. And the first one is this. Survey says, don't take yourself too seriously. Now, some of you are confused. You're sitting there and you're thinking, wait. Jesus took himself seriously. He did. But he didn't take himself too seriously. Too seriously. And some of you are questioning what I'm saying. Okay, let me explain. He was born in a manger, in what we would call today as a barn, in a manger, which animals ate out of, with animals around, as a human. You guys get me so far? He was baptized by just a mere human, just a human. He hung out with prostitutes and drunkards. He hung out with people. He rode on a donkey. Does that sound like somebody who took themselves too seriously? Not really. And then, most importantly, he died on a cross by human hands that he created. Jesus took himself incredibly seriously, but he didn't think of himself as better than anybody else. And that's crazy. He didn't take himself too seriously, and neither should we. Now, on a lighter note, Chuck Swindoll says this, don't take yourself too seriously. After all, nobody else does. Now listen, if you're still not with me, let me give you some general characteristics of someone who takes themselves way too seriously. Now, I know when I'm going through this, the common thing to do is say, I know somebody like that, you know, right? Come on. I know that guy over there is like that, or that lady over there is like that. Well, right now, I'm going to read these to you. I just want you to take it in and say, is that me? Is that any of those things me? So here's some characteristics of someone who takes themselves too seriously. Number one, they can't look bad in front of others. They're always concerned about their image as they think others see it. They respond with anger, violence, and aggression sometimes when somebody thinks badly about them. They have a disgruntled attitude. They always have to get in the last word, or they might look bad. They always must respond book length to many bad things that they say about them, unable to receive criticism, always trying to prove themselves to everyone else, has been the martyr or the victim in every circumstance, can't take it when people make lighthearted jokes about them, always right, not joyful, see themselves as an example of truth, stability, excellence in humanity, like I'm God's gift to humanity, and never can be the butt of a joke, and most importantly, will never be caught making fun of themselves. I know some of you are like, I thought this was Holy Humor Sunday, you're bringing me down. I'm sorry, but we need to look at ourselves and say, do we, in certain, maybe not all the time, but do we have areas in our lives where we take ourselves way too seriously? You know who took themselves really seriously? Were the Pharisees in Jesus' time. They thought so highly of themselves. They wouldn't be caught riding on a donkey. They wouldn't be caught making fun of themselves and joking and laughing. Jesus said, if you remember this, he said, for all those who exalt themselves, they'll be humbled, right? But those who humble themselves will be exalted. I'm going to say this, don't be a Pharisee, because Pharisees aren't funny. Nobody likes a Pharisee. All right, I want to show you this video. While we're thinking of this thing of don't take yourself too seriously, John Crist comes out with another video, this guy I just showed you, and I think you're really going to enjoy this one. But again, think we're not taking ourselves too seriously. My favorite was, there goes the homeschoolers. That was awesome. All right, so sometimes, listen, we got to laugh at ourselves, right? We've been in those places, maybe in the church parking lot. I was just talking with some, I won't name any names. I was just talking with someone. We were joking about this idea of how we get mad in the parking lot of the church, right? That guy took 3 spots. And listen, this is not a part of my sermon, but don't pull through, okay? Just don't. Because you're trying to get out, and now you're trying to get, you know, we have this weird parking lot. It's just don't pull through the spaces. Everybody will be happy. It'll be okay. But we've all been in that, right, where we have this bad attitude going to church, and we're mad or whatever. And listen, I just think we got to laugh at ourselves. Instead of always trying to justify everything, you know what I mean? Maybe something silly happened to us or somebody picks on us, and we're so quick to try to justify. Maybe it's just me, right? We're so quick to try to justify and explain ourselves so that we don't get picked on, right? I'll just tell you this. Bucky likes to pick on me often, okay? Often. And his biggest thing is you know, the joke that pastors only work on Sunday, you know, that joke. It's not true. But the biggest thing is, he's like, you got to justify your 40 hours, bro. You're going to be there at church. You know, there's been times where that just drives me crazy. And I just want to punch him in the face. But I'm learning to laugh at myself, okay? Because I like to be accountable for the hours that I'm here, right? So he likes to pick on me and say that. Is that part of your hours? Anyway, so but notice, Jesus never tried to explain himself. You ever notice he's being called a drunkard? He's hanging out with tax collectors and prostitutes. And he never held a press meeting saying, attention everyone, Son of God here. Is this on? Hello? Yes, I'd like to give a public statement of why I was at the bar with those people. I didn't drink in excession. You know, I was moderate and I was with these people. And the reason why is for the kingdom of God to expand. He didn't do that. You know why? Because he didn't have to. He didn't take himself too seriously, and what people said about him when it wasn't true, he did not entertain that thing. He did not take himself too seriously. We try to, though, don't we? Because think of all the pictures we have of Jesus. It's always with him, with the kids and the lamb. It's like, I never see a picture of Jesus with his arm around, in a non-sexual way, of a prostitute and another arm around a drunkard. I never see those pictures, but that's who Jesus was, a friend of sinners and somebody who didn't take himself too seriously, but he took himself seriously. We need to take Jesus seriously and not take ourselves too seriously. Okay, that could preach, but anyway, we'll move on. Survey says, next one, families aren't perfect. Some are you going, yeah, amen, that's true. But some are you like, but I want it to be. Yeah, sure, we all want it to be. But look, Romans says it here. Romans says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means all of us in this room, all the family members here at PCF and the church family have sinned and fallen short. Now, I think we have a tendency as Christians, and I'm just being honest because I am one. I is one, right? We get ready. We get all dolled up for church. Woo, looking good. Trying to make sure everybody knows that we're good. My family's good. You and I are good. And then we bury everything else. Some of you guys might recognize... No, I did. I shouldn't have done that. I didn't put it in there. You guys remember Leave It to Beaver? Anybody ever see that before? You know, the Cleavers? Everybody looks at their family and says, that's the family. That's the perfect family. Dad never raised his voice. Mom was always cleaning in heels and a dress, and her hair was always done, right? Always happy, pleasant. I mean, the worst thing that ever happened to poor Beaver or Wally was probably that they had a bad report card and it was like a B+, right? It's like that's the worst that they ever had. Now, I think what happens is we've painted this picture of the church, and we say it's got to be perfect like that. Let me tell you, I don't know if you knew this, but Hugh Beaumont, Mr. Cleaver, he was actually in a really deep depression off camera. And he actually had blamed it on the show. Because it was fake. It wasn't real. The problem is families aren't perfect. And that's okay. But we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of that. Because while we're thinking our family looks like Leave It to Beaver, our family really looks like The Simpsons or Roseanne. You know what I'm saying? Married in the Family. It's like totally dysfunctional. And we kind of have to be aware of that and stop thinking otherwise. I want to show you this video. It's a great video. Explain my point. This is getting ready for church. I think you're all going to enjoy this and understand what this is like. Have any of you had that morning this morning? Some of you are saying, yeah, this morning. Oh, man. We act like we have it all together sometimes, don't we? We walk into church like we have it all together. And it's funny that some of the biggest issues, some of the bigger fights that ever happen is on a Sunday morning. You have told me these things. Why? Because the enemy of our souls is trying to get us to fight, get offended, and abandon each other, then bring it into these doors and do the same thing. You ever wonder why church arguments even happen? It's because the enemy is trying to destroy us. We put this mask on, and we have to be careful not to do this, but we put this mask on that our family is perfect. And unfortunately, what happens is it opens the door for the enemy to come and bring dissension because we're not being honest that we don't have it all together and there are some issues and feuds and differences. Transparency is key and open, and we need to be open and honest and surround our people to be honest with, right? Hey, listen, guys, there's awesome men of valor. Get involved. Share things. With ladies, there's like a ton of different awesome groups. There's men's prayer. There's women's prayer. There's all these different things, care groups, availability for you to show and be able just to let it out that you don't have it all together and that you can grow within each other and your family and your spiritual family. Got it? Everybody got it? All right, survey says for our next point, this one is called Pick Your Battles. How many of y'all are parents? Anybody have a strong-willed child? I do. I was just reading that just recently in this book, and it said, pick your battles. And I started thinking about that, and I realized some of the battles I was choosing to do with my child, you know, the battles I took up were unnecessary. Any kind of parenting book will tell you this. They were unnecessary. It was silly stuff that I shouldn't have been getting upset with. Now, I believe the same thing happens in churches. Paul, when writing to Timothy, says this. This is it. Here it is. You're going to love this. I love this verse. Okay, here we go. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they will produce quarrels. Got quiet in here. Guys on Facebook, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Hello? In the church, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. There are some battles that should not be fought because they're stupid. That's Paul. Paul said it. Foolish and stupid because they're dumb battles. They're stupid things that we get upset about, I get upset about, you get upset about, and we take it to this whole nother level that didn't have to happen. Not only in the church family, but in your home family. You got siblings upset about their mom, their dad, whatever. Choose your battles, because there's certain ones that are just stupid. Don't fight them. I want to show you this. These are real church arguments that happened in churches, okay, that have been reported in churches. These are real ones. They really happened. You ready? These are good. Number one, there was a church fight over whether or not to build a children's playground or use the land for cemetery. I'm dying to know what the answer to that one was. Yeah. In a 45 heated argument over the type of filing cabinet to purchase. Do we get a brown one or a black one? 2, 3, 4 drawers? How many do we get? This was an official cabinet meeting of the church leadership. There was a petition to have all the church staff clean shaven. Guys, Pastor Jeff, we're done. Get us out of here, man. We're gone. We got to get clean shaven. We're out of here. I'm gone. I'm just leaving. All right. There was a big church argument over the discovery, get this, the discovery that the church budget was short by 10 cents. Finally, somebody gave a dime to settle the issue. And I can tell you, this is a very, very petty issue, right? But it's 10 times more important than if it was just a penny. My dad would be so proud of me right now. He's not here, but he would be. Two different churches reported fights over the type of coffee. In one church, they moved from a Folgers to a stronger Starbucks brand. In the other church, they simply just moved to a stronger blend. Members of this church left because of the coffee. Maybe they started a new church called the Right Blend Fellowship. Come on now, I'm trying. An argument of whether the church should allow... Or chock full of nuts. There you go. All right. We're all a little nutty. In the argument of whether the church should allow deviled eggs at the church meal. It says devil in it. Well, it might be okay if we at least get a little balance and get angel food cake. All right, and finally, an argument of whether to have gluten-free communion bread or not. And here I always thought gluttony was a sin. Listen, the point is, we got to choose our battles, right? We got to choose our battles. Is it really worth fighting for? Churches split over stuff like this. It's not worth it. We got to get over it. And that brings me to my final here. Survey says, prefer your family. Prefer your family. Let me explain. In Romans, Paul is talking and he's saying, if we can get there, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Preference to one another. Also in Philippians, he says to the church there, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Have you ever noticed that everybody has different preferences? Have you noticed that? There's different preferences on your phones. Like if I showed you my phone and you showed me your phone, you probably have a totally different way of doing things, right? Have you ever noticed music? Is that not everybody here likes the same music? Some of you like rock, some of you like country, some of you like classical or just worship music. But then, even if you're like, okay, we both like country, well, one person likes country that's new country and the other person only likes old country. There's a difference. And people get heated about this stuff, right? Because they're preferring, they have preferences, they have things that they enjoy. But what I'm noticing over the time is what Paul is trying to say here is prefer the other person over yourself. That means sometimes I have to prefer Bucky what he wants rather than what I want. Do we all got this so far? It's the key to a healthy family. And it's going to bring down the amount of feuds that we have in this family and in your home family. For example, let me explain. My wife and I, when we first got married, I slept with a fan. Anybody here sleep with a fan? It's called white noise. I love that fan, right? It's just, it has to be on. When I go somewhere and there's no fan, I have a trouble falling asleep. Now, my wife didn't have a fan. She didn't really like that whole idea. So she would be like, the fan. But the other thing is, I had a TV in my room. As soon as I got out of my parents' house, I always had a TV in my room, and I would fall asleep watching TV. Any of you like that? I don't know. Well, my wife said she didn't like the fan, and she didn't like the TV. So guess what? Almost 10 years later, we have a fan in the bedroom, and she likes it. She likes the fan. But we do not have a television in the bedroom, and I hate it. You know what I mean? It's like, It's like we had to prefer one another. Are you seeing this? Like compromise. Like she said, okay, keep the fan. And I'm like, all right, I'll get rid of the TV. It's like same reason why I have a deer head mounted in my office right now. And next door in the office building, I have a deer head there, not in my house, because my wife prefers only just one dead animal in the house. I preferred her. Do you guys get me? So do you see the point? We both preferred the other's wishes. And I want to show you, this is what Scott and I have been bringing up this week. This is what we worked on. These are church differences, the preferences of other people. We put this together, and now this is a disclaimer. What I'm about to talk about is not our church, it's other churches. We don't deal with any of this. This is just stuff we read on the internet, okay? So, again, satirical, we're laughing at ourselves and whatever. We can all find something in this video I'm about to show you. Enjoy, guys, enjoy.
Hey, brother.
You can wave two flags. I love that part. Can I say the best thing about this video, in my opinion anyway, is that I really believe here at PCF, we prefer one another. I know we all have things that we don't like, but I really do believe at PCF that we all prefer one another, right? We're not getting fights over any of that stuff. None of that stuff has caused a church split. And I think that means that we're somewhat healthy, right? Somewhat healthy. We got to keep that going, right? And I believe some of the ways to do that is, do you remember in Romans, I was telling you these verses here. Romans, I highlighted these two words. In honor, giving preference to one another. In humility, value others above yourself. Can I say, it all boils down to these two things. Honor and humility. I do want to tell you, though, honor, when we're looking at that, it says giving preference to one another. That's hard. That's difficult. It's not easy. And it's funny because it says honor, to give honor, in honor, giving preference to one another. One another is us. And it doesn't say if the person deserves it, right? Because we're thinking, well, I'm not going to give that kid honor. He doesn't deserve it. It doesn't say if he deserves it or not. It says give honor. In honor, giving preference to one another. Are we doing that? We got to continue to make sure that is the focal point that we're honoring. And the other one is humility. That's what Jesus had, y'all. That's what he had. He had humility. He was valuing other people above himself. And he is God. He was God. And he did that. And I wonder what would happen in all of the church worldwide if we started honoring one another in humility. If we started preferring other people's preferences, if we started thinking about others and valuing them above ourselves, what would happen? What would happen if you went online today and you find something offensive and you decide, I'm going to let that go. I'm just going to keep scrolling. I'm going to leave that alone instead of trying to... Because listen, can I just tell you right now, the world is watching how this family operates. The world is watching us. They're watching you with Uncle Joe that said something crazy. And how are you going to respond? Because they're watching and they're going, they're seeing us fight. They're seeing us fight and have these feuds, these family feuds. And they're saying, I don't know if I really want to be a part of that family. Why would I want that? Is that life? No, it's not. Because we're so busy trying to put the mask on that we got everything together. And what's really happening is the world's saying, your mask is terrible. I can see right through it. You think, yeah, I'm holding a mask up. We're perfect. They're like, we can see through that. We have to be completely aware that the way we interact with each other, in other churches as well, right, worldwide, the way we interact with other Christians, is that should be showing others Christ's love. Pastor Jeff always says this to people. They say, the best thing you can do for your kid is to have a mom and dad who love each other. And they have to see that, right? They have to see that. So you know, if I kiss my wife or, you know, give her a little slap or whatever. They need to see those loving affections happen. She doesn't like it when I do that. She's really embarrassed right now. But, no pun intended, but I'm on a roll today. But they need to see that, because when they see that, they now have an example before them of what a marriage should look like. The same way goes for our church. We need to start loving each other in honor and humility, giving preference to one another, and valuing each other above ourselves. So we're not out in the community talking gossip and trash about what happened on Sunday. Can you believe that they played this song so loud? They had dancers on the stage. And you know, they're watching that and going, I don't want anything to do with that at all, because you guys can't even get along yourselves. We have to be working and make sure we keep it a focal point. I'm not saying you do this. I'm just saying we have to make sure that we're maintaining a healthy and happy family. Here's how we do it, just in a review. We're going to do it by not taking ourselves too seriously. We're going to make sure that we realize that our families aren't perfect and we have a healthy, realistic point of view on that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if your expectation is here for me, let's be honest, I'm probably down here. Just adjust your expectation for me, for my sake, and I'll do the same for you. Do you know what I'm saying? If your expectation is that you're going to come to church and nobody's going to try to offend you, you're in the wrong place, okay? Because we're stupid too, okay? We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all had these moments. And then pick your battles. Make sure that you're picking the right things, because listen, some battles, hey, you need to bring those up. You need, obviously, in love. We're not attacking anybody. Please, nobody come in with a sword next week because you didn't like something. But there's some battles that need to be fought in love, but most of them don't, okay? And then finally, prefer one another. We need to do this. And I think in the end, we just need to lighten up and laugh. Just lighten up. Yeah. Hey, will you stand with me? Will you stand with me and we'll pray? Father, I know that you have a sense of humor because you created me. I know you do. And Lord, we know that you want us to have a cheerful heart. You want us to not be miserable people with miserable lives. You want us to be cheerful and joyful and be able to laugh and enjoy one another. Father, I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would just come and fill us up. The joy of the Lord, Lord. We need more of that. Your joy. Your strength. Lord, I want to say personally, Lord, on behalf of me, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm sorry, God, for all the times that I've taken offense to things I shouldn't have taken offense to, that I've gotten mad at things I shouldn't have gotten mad about, stupid little things that I've chose to take offense to and let the enemy seep into my life. If you're here this morning, you got something, just give it up to him today. Give it up, because it's not worth it. Lord, we know our family and this church family isn't perfect. But Lord, we want to be examples of how you have loved us. We want to love each other like you have loved us. And we want to honor one another, give preference to one another, put other people above ourselves. We want to do that today, Lord. Lord, will you please guard our hearts? Will your Holy Spirit start to convict us, Lord, of some of these things that we get so riled up about? And it's like, I can feel like, Lord, you're saying, that's my family. Why is my family fighting? Why are my kids fighting? They're my children. Lord, we're sorry. Lord, we're sorry. We love you, Lord. We love your laughter, your joy, the excitement that you bring to us each and every day. Lord, help us see things. And let us see things through your eyes. Sometimes I think you're just really laughing at some of the stuff I do. Lord, let us see that. Let us be able to lighten up. Just lighten up. Take you seriously, but not take ourselves too seriously. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.